The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
You're listening to the Bible Study. This is the Ask the Pastor Hour. Every day we do 2 hours of the Bible Study. The first one kind of belongs to me.
Well, sort of.
Well, not really. But you know what I mean. We confine our conversation to a specific Bible text. Over the years, we've been through the New Testament here on the Bible Study program 9 times, the entire New Testament 9 times, and I think we're on our way to our second trip through the entire Old Testament, about halfway through the Old Testament for the second time. And then in the Ask the Pastor Hour, we turn the program over to you and give you a chance to put questions to our guest on whatever it is that you'd like to talk about. Those numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Our guest is Pastor Andy Jago. He is pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
How's everything with you?
Things are going well. Bit of a strange morning, but going well.
Strange morning in what way?
Well, there was a huge, I don't know what it was this morning, but all the power was out in part of Alexandria, and it just caused all kinds of traffic.
Did you have a storm, or?
I don't know. I actually haven't found out yet. I just got home from being over at the Groveton Elementary School where my kids go. I'm teaching an ESL class there.
What's an ESL class?
English is a second language.
Oh, okay.
And this is for some of my fellow parents who are over there that came into the country. So it's an informal way for them to have conversation and learn a little English to help their skills along. And that got delayed and because of all the power outages and traffic and everything else. But, well, here we are.
Here we are. Okay. All is well. We can say a prayer for the folks there as they try to recover from that particular issue. Again, our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'd like to bring up a subject here with you, Pastor, that I don't know if you want to talk about it very much or not. It's usually not a very popular subject with pastors, and that's the business of delinquent members. The term delinquent member even carries a kind of an ugly connotation with it these days.
Sure.
Most of the pastors that I have talked about delinquent members with have a certain sense of guilt. You know, they have people who are on their membership rolls who don't come to church, and they haven't really been able to talk to them because they're so busy doing the work of the ministry, and pastors are overextended anyway, and delinquent members kind of fall through the cracks. How about you? Delinquent members, everybody has them. I suppose you have them too. Is that right?
Well, that's true. Well, here I'm being helped a great deal by our lay members who have assembled to be shepherds in our congregation. So they take, you know, the alphabetical section of our membership list. And we've been going through, actually, if you look at our synodical statistics, it looks like we lost a lot of members over this past year. That's not necessarily reflective of, you know, the reality on the ground. It's just that, we've had members that have moved on to other parts of the country and so forth, and nobody's ever adjusted the membership roles. And then we have this debate almost every month, it seems, at our shepherds meeting. If there's someone that got dropped off the list, and then we talk about, well, or either accidentally, or do we still keep in contact with this person? And that's where I confront sometimes the guilty feeling of, oh, okay, yeah, I haven't seen that guy and this person in 5-6 months. I really should give him a call. Fortunately, there's lay people that we have too that also help with that. So when we talk about this at the meeting, then oftentimes, you know, they'll make the first call and let me know what's going on if they've been able to make contact. And at the very least, we continue to send them cards, you know, invite them to special events at the church to give them an opportunity to reactivate and reconnect with the congregation. There's probably a variety of reasons for why people fall away or become delinquent. I don't like that term either, but each person is different, though. There isn't like one reason to cover all those situations.
Well, if we weren't going to use that term, delinquent, is there a better term? Is there a term that you prefer?
Well, not really. I guess inactive, perhaps, but it all comes out the same way. You're talking about someone who you haven't seen for a while. But it could be because of health reasons, and maybe they just haven't communicated to the church. It may be that they got mad over something that happened a few months ago, or a fight they had with another church member, and you don't really know that until they choose to share it with you, if they choose to share that with you. There could be that, you know, they've just gotten just under this tidal wave of work, and that just took over their lives. They had some project they had to get done and took over their lives, and they just got out of the habit of going to church. Could be for a variety of different reasons.
So how do you explain the phenomenon of somebody who takes the time and the effort to join a church? Probably if they want to join your church, you're not going to just say, well, here, fill out this card. You're probably going to ask them to sit through a class so that they can know whether or not their beliefs are consistent with what you believe, what you teach at your church in Bethany, in Alexandria, Virginia. And so they go through all that, and then they don't come to church. How do you explain that phenomenon?
It's really hard. It's interesting, though. Last night, our vicar, who's enrolled in the seminary's EIIT, that's Ethnic Immigrant Institute of Theology, he's on his last class, and for it we had to go through pastoral ministry and church, and part of it was a Lutheran evaluation of, you know, Rick Warren's book, Purpose-Driven Church. And we had to talk about this diagram that he has for training church members when they join a church. And it's a progression of maturity. You get connected with your church, and then you're growing in Christian maturity and keep going up these different levels of classes. What I explained to my vicar was that that's not how it works, usually, in people's lives. There isn't necessarily like an upward trajectory or an upward progression. Oftentimes, I think, you know, when in people's spiritual lives, I think C.S. Lewis did it best when he wrote A Pilgrim's Regress, you know, saying that sometimes the best thing is to go back. You know, you have ups and downs in your spiritual life. You have times of great enthusiasm, and then you have trough times. And it's not just I think, you know, people may think that when you join a church, you're on this upward trajectory or upward progression. You keep growing and getting more mature. That's the ideal, and that's what we would like to happen. But more often than not, I mean, just because we're people and we're human, that it goes up and down. It goes up and down that scale instead of just keep going up.
I wonder how often it occurs, with what kind of frequency it occurs, that a person who joins a church joins primarily, if not exclusively, for the reason that they do believe that there's a God. They believe that God's pretty angry and pretty hard to satisfy. And if there's anything that satisfies him, it's probably a church attendance every once in a while. So that's why I joined. I don't want to have to say guilty to the accusation that I never go to church. I don't want to have to say that. So I'll join a church, I'll come once in a while, and then I'll be able to say, well, yeah, I go to church, and that's why I joined your church. Do you think that that is the exception or closer to the rule?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd really love to know, to have psychic powers to know what goes on in people's minds, but that's not something that I can say one way or the other if that is a common or uncommon. I think maybe there are very good people who are very excellent, well-intentioned, that probably would love to be there every Sunday, and that's just not the way it works out because of their family life or other commitments that they have. But then there's others that probably do. I mean, we know, we see every Christmas and Easter, you know, and Mother's Day. Mother's Day now, we have to include that.
Okay.
You know, that, you know, the
CENM Christians
of attendance there.
C-E-N-M Christians, now we have to say?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, now there's another, I think, motivation to join a church, be a part of Bethany in Alexandria, Virginia, and that is in my background, my growing up, we had certain religious activities that we did, and I want to do them, and I want my kids to do them. They're called mm-hmm. baptisms and confirmations. And, well, every once in a while we need a funeral or a wedding. And that's why I joined the church. Because when I need that thing, I want you, Pastor, to be ready to give it to me. And that mm-hmm. and that's why I joined the church. How common is that perspective?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I certainly have had those conversations with parents. And even with their kids, too, they say, oh, the parents have been after me all the time. This is a generational thing, you know, where sometimes if the children have not joined a church, they'll get tremendous pressure from the parents when grandchildren come into the picture. And they are told, you got to get this child baptized, and we need to take care of that. And then if that doesn't happen right away, then I have conversations with parents and grandparents to say, all right, well, it's something we need to pray about and keep at it. I'd say that's you will see much more. I see this as a generational thing, perhaps, but I mean, this is probably a little more common in Europe, where you would pay part of your taxes to be part of, let's say, the Lutheran Church in Finland or something like that, and then entitles you to be buried and married and baptized and so forth. But you're not really committed to anything. Your commitment is your tax dollars. So that's a different tack than being a mature and committed and connected to a faith community.
And then there is the reality, which I'm sure you hold forth at Bethany, that what's really going on in worship is that the God of the universe has designed a method in which he will be present with his people. Mm-hmm. He will be really there, and he will dispense in great abundance his love and his word and his forgiveness, his blessing. He says, I will meet you there in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then I will pour this out on you. Mm. And people who are members of the church maybe hear that and say, "No, I don't think so. No, I'm still not coming."
That's entirely possible, or maybe they are present but not really engaged in hearing that. It's hard for me. I mean, I can be judgmental, certainly, as the pastor, and I don't know if I've experienced this a lot in my life, except for maybe my teenage years, where even with my dad as the pastor of the church, we were, there may have been Sundays where I was not fully engaged in the liturgy and fully engaged in the lessons that were being read. And yet, somehow, some way, the word has efficacy and power, even, for you to be there. And you never know what the Spirit is able to accomplish, even with our hard of hearing and our hard hearts. So pastors, I think, have to exercise a great deal of patience and a great deal of trust and faith that the Holy Spirit is going to penetrate, to get through somehow.
Well, the reason I bring all this up is in the context of this story that we have from the Christian Newswire. The headline is National Back to Church Sunday is set for September 18th. The story says National Back to Church Sunday, a cross-denominational movement to reverse declining church attendance and encourage everyone to revisit congregational life, will be celebrated September 18th across the country. Lending his voice to this year's event is Texas Rangers All-Star Josh Hamilton, the 2010 American League Championship Series MVP, who credits his comeback from drug addiction and suspension from the game to his faith in church. Hamilton said, God's word tells us to spur one another on toward love and good deeds and not give up meeting together. We are to walk through life with other believers. My family and I have found that church is a wonderful way to do this, so I encourage you to join thousands of Americans as they go back to church on National Back to Church Sunday. Now, do you think this is a good idea, Pastor, or do you think that this is just going to turn into C and E and Mom and National Back to Church Day?
Well, at least we've added another one there, right?
Yeah, so, we're up to four now, maybe.
You know, it can't hurt, I guess. I don't know. It sounds a little bit like, you know, we call it Rally Day at our church. You know, it's that one Sunday in September. We're okay, we may have scattered to the winds, and rally has a nice military connotation, so the military folks in our church latch on to it. You know, it's
Alexandria, Virginia, don't you?
You rally everyone together to full out offensive. So, you know, we're attacking the new beginning of the school year, you might say.
I'm not asking you whether or not you're going to formally here on the radio endorse National Back to Church Sunday.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to ask you that. But what about the concept, Pastor? Do you like the concept? Is this something that you might want to talk about with the leaders in your church?
Well, like, I do like the concept because, like I say, it sounds like what we do for Rally Day. You know, it's kind of okay, let's all kind of come back. But now, it unfortunately, because it's on that news story, and you know, you got all the celebrity guest coming in, it does sound, unfortunately, if you hadn't been going to church for a while, and you may have had reasons not to go to church, I mean, it sounds a little fake. You know, it sounds like you're not really, you know, this is something just to catch your attention, draw you in, and it's a marketing scheme. And I think people would be a little savvy and a little aware of a marketing scheme and maybe be a little wary of that and roll their eyes a little bit, perhaps. On the other hand, maybe that individual who's speaking may be something that would get people out to church on a, you know, you're not operating on a very high level of thinking there, but if that's the case, being in church is not bad. So I can't say that it's a bad thing on that level.
It says here the National Back to Church Sunday has become the single largest community outreach in the nation, with 10,000 churches expected to participate in 2011.
Huh.
This event reignites the power of personal invitation to empower church members to bring the community back to church. This year's event will be held the second Sunday after Labor Day to accommodate more churches. National Back to Church Sunday was launched in response to a 2008 study by Lifeway Research and the North American Mission Board of 15,000 adults, that's quite a sample, that found that two-thirds of Americans say a personal invitation from a family member would be effective in getting them to visit a church. 63% say an invitation from a friend or neighbor would likely get them to respond. Are you surprised by those statistics?
Not at all. That was in, that's very close to what was in the book Unchurched Next Door, which I thought was a very healthy and good, it's statistics, but it gives you a snapshot of what your neighbors might be thinking.
So then, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this without putting you on the spot here.
It's not my intention
to put you on the spot. But it's hard for me to imagine that anybody would say, no, we don't want to ask people to come back to church. So assuming that it's a good thing to go back to church, if the Lutherans say, well, yeah, that we'd like to see people come back to church, but we don't want to participate in National Back to Church Sunday because we're Lutherans, or we're Presbyterians, or we're Southern Baptists, or we're Episcopalians, and so then people don't participate, that seems counterproductive to me. So I'm not asking you to join September 18th.
Well, I think each pastor's got to evaluate that based on who they are, or, you know, who they are, what kind of community their church serves. And, you know, it could be that, you know, if we were, I don't know, some place where that could be very effective, then okay. Where we are right now, Rally Day is fairly effective. That kind of vocabulary works for our military community. And I don't have the capacity in our church to do the whole projection put the football player up on the screen, and get the closed circuit television. We don't have a lot of the technology to be able to pull that off. So you gotta do with, use the resources that you have. And I think the idea, though, is for churches to think about, well, how can we get, first of all, who are our neighbors? How can we have a conversation with them? And is there a way, maybe a public campaign like this, that would maybe raise our visibility, get people's attention? And then after that, though, I think you have to be prepared to follow up. To be able to visitors that come into your church, be able to have a connection, a relationship with them, because they're not going to stay because of a marketing gimmick. And there might even be some people here and outside of Washington, D.C. that have had their fill of those kinds of things with everything that goes on in Washington. So
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Linda, you're in the Bible study.
Hi, Brother Radford. Hi, Pastor.
Hi there.
Hi. Well, I think people who haven't been in church, they're not strong enough to come back. It's sort of like what we were studying last hour with Pastor Walter. He says the spiritual food gives us the strength, and they haven't had the spiritual food. It's like looking at somebody who's starving and telling them how much they should weigh and how strong they should be, and you should come back. You have to give them food. You have to give them some food to make them stronger. And, that's the body of Christ carrying that food out to them. You see someone. It's not just the pastor that should do it. It's it's the body of Christ. And I'm telling you one thing. It's not only the membership. We have a pastor who he took care of our church some years ago, and we learned that he and his wife aren't going. Well, I run into them, and I found out they're not going anywhere. And he's a pastor, and I keep calling. I have been calling, and he was going to come sunrise service Easter, but we all got flooded out. but I mean, he's getting closer. But we have to go out to him. We have to And our deacons called him too now and prayed for him. It's not, it can happen to anybody,
Oh, absolutely. I think you really hit the right note in terms of, the food being there. To understand these, if someone's been away for a while, they're malnourished.
They are.
I think that's an excellent point. And now the connection that people have, I always said, the thing that's the least effective in our church, I don't know if it's the same as true in yours, is a newspaper ad, which we do, but that's like the least effective way to get people into the church, not just an inactive, but, to get anyone to come and visit us. I mean, sometimes that happens, and people have come in because somehow our church comes up on the top of a Google list if you search for Lutheran churches in Alexandria, but maybe because of the letter B, I don't know. But, but what works for us is that connection, and maybe even not just, the connection from the pastor, but the people that are there and around the sacraments who are nourished, who are well-fed. And, when someone comes and visits, they make a connection or they talk to someone at the grocery store. Someone comes into our building because they hear we have a pretty good preschool and they want to check it out, and it's the people on our staff and it's the people, the people of God at the church that connect with them. That's what makes that's better than millions of dollars to have in advertising, I think.
Like Pastor Walter last hour, he says, you tell him something through the screen door, and he say, "Oh, I want to hear more about this." It's a promise,
Right.
All right.
God bless you.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. You too.
Well, we come back, Pastor. I would like to turn our attention to the second chapter of Acts, verses 42 and following there, which for some people they will hear as in place of the Old Testament reading in church this Sunday. And it seems to have some things to say about worship. At least I think it does. We'll test that with Pastor Andy Jago on the other side of the break. pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back.
I've heard business people complain that nonprofits don't respond in timely ways to needs and opportunities. I believe that's true. Concordia Seminary strives to instill responsiveness in our graduates. Responsiveness to the needs of congregations and responsiveness to the needs of our communities and world. Responsiveness is a seminary core value, and it's a great commission value.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. Jesus once said, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Well, what did Jesus mean by the words "free indeed"? Is that different than just free? Well, I invite you to join me Sunday afternoon for Jubilation, when I'll share my take on Jesus' words "free indeed," along with great Christ-centered music as well. That's Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. on listener-supported KFUO Radio.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Susan G. Komen for The Cure supports breast cancer research. Sadly, their chapters often fund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest chain of abortion mills. In the last few years, Komen has given millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood. But now, they'll have fewer volunteers to help raise money in Michigan. The Knights of Columbus there refuse to have any part of Komen. Also, they don't want their individual members to allow their names to be used with Komen or to participate in any of their functions. Their state board unanimously supported this action. Nationally, the Knights of Columbus deserve tons of credit for where the pro-life movement is today. They have been a constant force in our effort to protect unborn babies and their mothers. I salute them.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Improving. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. Doctors say the Reverend Billy Graham is in good spirits and responding to treatment for pneumonia. Officials at Mission Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina, where the 92-year-old evangelist was admitted Wednesday, say he's been getting up for meals and performing a light therapy program. Graham spokesman Larry Ross says,
"Mr. Graham expressed appreciation for the outpouring of love and concern and the prayers from so many people."
He says Billy Graham was visited Thursday by his pastor, the Reverend Don Wilton of Spartanburg, South Carolina, for their weekly time of prayer and Bible study. President Barack Obama says you'll probably get some use out of a gift he received at the annual Hispanic prayer breakfast Thursday. He thanked his hosts for giving him a bilingual Bible.
"I was told this will help improve my Spanish. And I said, I'll pray on that."
I'm Steve Coleman.
I'm Diane Summers, host of The Essence, each weekday between 1 and 3 here on KFUO Radio. Sacred and classical music reflecting the beauty of creation and the great heritage of the church throughout the ages. Join me weekdays as we explore and experience the great inspiration provided by some great classics. Music for your daily walk.
The Essence with Diane Summers is underwritten on KFUO Radio by Lutheran Senior Services. Older adults living life to the fullest.
I'm John Fuller for Focus on the Family. Coming up this weekend, we'll help couples jumpstart a boring marriage. Why kids need parent cheerleaders. Can you do that for your child? And understanding the difference between healthy and unhealthy guilt. Learn more on the next Weekend Magazine.
Saturday mornings at 10 on KFUO Radio.
You're listening to an Ask the Pastor Bible Study. I'm Chuck Rathard. Thank you for spending some time with us here. Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Andy Jago is our guest here today, from Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. So in the first half hour of conversation, Pastor, we talked about those people who fit under the heading of inactive or even, dare I say it, delinquent members. We talked about National Back to Church Sunday, which is a nationwide non, or I guess we should say cross-denominational event that has been set for September 18th. You agreed that the concept is good, and you pointed out that that you have a rally-type Sunday at your church designed to do just this. Linda called in and said, you know, the people who are estranged from church for whatever reason aren't strong enough to come back. They need us to go out and get them. I think that's what she said.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, if a church does not participate in a national Back to Church Sunday or does not have a rally Sunday as you have at Bethany, is that church delinquent?
Oh, boy. Well, it's hard for me to say yes just because, that's a question that it would cause for a look at where the church is at, again, in their community. What's their history? I mean, do they live someplace where that kind of thing just would not work? You know, but other things might. It's hard. I think a church needs to assess that and evaluate that based on where they are, and who the people are, and what gifts the Lord has assembled there. That's going to be different, you know, in St. Louis from Alexandria, from Houston. You know, it's going to be different in all those in the middle of Washburn, North Dakota, where I have family. That question is going to be different, you know, and based on the culture and the people and the gifts that God has assembled. It's a creative idea, and of course, with any creative idea, along these lines, the churches need to take a look at it, evaluate it based on where they are. It's not something that's in the Bible. What is in the Bible, though, is That's the Great Commission that we have to go. You know what the caller said: you go out and get them. If you have a stray sheep, you know, you go out to the edge of the cliff, you pull them back as best as you can. If you have people that you know are inactive, or you just want to get their attention, you know, what are the best ways to do that? Well, the Bible doesn't give you the method; it gives you the principle. And the principle is, you know, I think if you didn't follow the biblical principle of going out, tending to your stray sheep or getting inactive people who would otherwise be in church to get their attention and bring them back in. If you don't care about that and you're not concerned about it, and that's not at all part of what you do as a church, well, you know, then you could probably make a case that, all right, what are we following really the commandments that Jesus gave us?
In Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42, the believers still basking in the glow of the miracle of the resurrection. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now this seems to be a description running in the opposite direction of what we see in our country, for example, this phenomenon of declining church attendance. This description seems to be running in the other way. The Lord is adding people to their number daily. Now, should we be doing the things of Acts chapter 2, verse 42? If we were, perhaps we wouldn't have a decline. What does Acts chapter 2 have to say to this question?
About declining churches, well, again, what's the context? We're not in Alexandria, Virginia, on Beacon Hill Road, where there's about 10 different churches that are clustered all together. Now, if some miracle would happen and suddenly there were just one church, you know, maybe our church attendance statistically wouldn't look all that bad. But what's happening, and this is right after the time of Pentecost, there's only one church. It's in Jerusalem. So there's no competition here. it's everyone being already filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that's crucial as well. How often, you know, I preached a sermon on being in God's Word this past Sunday, and how often, you know, Luther recommended that we begin our study of the Word with a prayer to the Holy Spirit to open our minds, to fill us, to come to us with His gifts. And, you know, how often do we really do that or are aware of that? There's a lot of things. It's really hard to drag that text into 21st century North America and say, okay, well, these guys had it. How come we don't have it? I think what's important to know about the text, though, is the four marks that are mentioned.
Well, let's go over those.
Sure.
I assume you're talking about, first of all, the devotion to the apostles' teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You have that at your church?
Well, we should, yes. It's not only in the pulpit, but in small group ministries, Bible studies. If you're part of the apostolic church, that means you hold to the apostles' teaching from the New Testament and Old.
And assembly, fellowship, you have that at your church?
People who like to get together and assemble just for the sake of being together. I mean, that could be worship. It could be also coffee hour, I suppose. But definitely we have that as well.
Do you have the breaking of bread?
That is, I see that as a Eucharist word, as a word for Holy Communion. We're not at the point where we have communion every Sunday, but although we are experimenting with that over the summertime. But we do have that offered regularly, and teach people to hunger and thirst for that, the presence of God at the table.
And do you have prayers at your
Absolutely.
Church?
Absolutely. Well, the prayer ministry, that's along with the Eucharist and along with the teaching. I mean, that's just a cornerstone. That's a part of everything you have to do is covered with prayer. And you know, that's an acknowledgement. Hey, it's not our power. You know, we're not here. If things are going all right at our church, that's not because we're such wonderful people. That's the power of God working through us.
So, devotion to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers all present at Bethany Alexandria, Virginia. But I got a feeling that the awe that is described here in chapter 2 of the book of Acts is probably not present, at least in the same way or magnitude, at your church as it was here in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah, and the thing about awe is that sometimes that wears off quickly. I think to the Israelites at Sinai, you know, when the Lord comes down and His presence is there and everyone falls flat on their faces and they're just terrified. And it's not too long after Moses goes up to talk with the Lord that they're already making a golden calf because they think he's going to be too long. That took course of the place over the matter of days or weeks, you know. So even a church, let's say you had a magnificent Easter, and Easter service, you have all the bells and whistles come out, everyone knows that there isn't anyone within a mile square of your church that does not know that Christ is risen, you know. And it's just it fills you. You just burn, you know, with all that enthusiasm. And what do we call the Sunday after typically? Wood Sunday. Is that the awe, the majesty? People don't come back for it, you know. And that's a continual reminder that I have for my church. You know, Easter isn't just that one day; it lasts for 50 days. Maybe it would help if we had the brass band come back the next day. I don't know.
Let's take a telephone call here, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, David. You're on the Bible study.
Doc, how are you? This question is primarily posed to you. I want to thank you for your patience with some of my questions. And this one has to do with the promo that was made, I guess, I don't know how long ago, but it has to do Truth Knows No Boundaries and No Name. There's several people from different churches on there.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, I notice on your show you always have Lutheran pastors. I guess it's a Lutheran station, so that's obvious. But my question is, if Truth Knows No Boundaries, why did you have not a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian on calling.
Well, you ask a very good question, and I'll try to answer that as succinctly as possible.
Yeah, that's just the way I interpret that promo. I'd like to get your reaction on it.
Yeah, okay, let me talk about that just a little bit here. In the previous hour, Pastor Jago, we were reading in the Gospel of John, and right there in the middle of John chapter 6, the people come to Jesus, they say, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And I suggested to Pastor Walder that that might be a very valid question from humble people who had witnessed the feeding of the 5,000 and wanted to be in service to God and in service to Jesus. Or it might have been a very flawed question by sinful people who saw the majesty and power of the feeding of the 5,000 and wanted a little of that action themselves. So we talked about what might have been the motive behind the question, and I think that's kind of what David is asking here. You can listen to that promo and come to different conclusions, I suppose, as is often the case. What we're trying to say in that promo is that we believe that we have the truth of God's Word here on KFUO Radio. We have great confidence in the expositions of Scripture as found in what are known as the Lutheran Confessions, those confessions which answer the question, what does this mean? What does that mean? We believe that we have that, and that's what we hold forth here, and that's why we have only Lutheran pastors on our radio programs, because we believe we have that truth. What we have found is that the broadcasting we do here resonates far beyond just people who are within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We find that it resonates with people who are not even Christians. I mean, we have some rather interesting stories of people who, one in particular that I remember, a guy who was in the Baha'i faith, and over time, and listening to KFUO, came to be a very committed Christian. So the purpose of the promo, David, is to say that we believe that in advancing and sharing the truth of the Lutheran Confessions, that exposition of scriptural truth, that doing that here on the radio has reached beyond the limits of just Lutherans to a whole host of people. And that's what truth has no boundaries means. It does not mean that we have a kind of a postmodern view and that everybody has their view of truth and we're all in just one kind of big truth vat. That's not what it means. But I could see where you might come to that conclusion. I hope that answers the question. That makes sense to you, Pastor?
Well, it certainly does. I think it's also it's a reminder, too, for us that, you know, I don't think there's any pastor out there that can just stay among just Lutheran clergy. So I always, and there's none of our families that don't have a kind of mix too, and not only just along Christian traditions, but along other faiths as well. So it's hard not in this day and age to not encounter each other. So I always keep in mind what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, that one part of the body can't say to the other part of the body, I don't need you. And that's not what we're saying here on the radio station. That is how personally I think we encounter you know, other traditions and especially other Christian traditions who are part of the body. You know, I always think there's something I can learn or there's something that we can learn together, as part of the body of Christ. So, we are reminded also that, on this radio program that even though we are, talking from a Lutheran perspective, that there are lots of other parts of the body of Christ who tune in.
505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Herman, you're on the Bible study.
Yes, thank you for taking my call about the Go Back to Church Sunday. In a way, I know those appeals seem to be somewhat, I'm not going to say they're out of date or anything by any means, because it's always important to hear the Word of God for salvation. But maybe we need to be extra careful. There needs to be in that church the message from Holy Scripture centered in Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the sins of the world as the free gift of salvation by faith. And I know that there are different denominations, but just like Mr. Rathard and Mr. Clayton have pointed out, there's a denominational church not far from the seminary campus in the studio that's got a signboard saying this Lady Gaga's revelation of a homosexual creating God seemingly supersedes the Bible. I'd be very leery of what's being preached in the church if it's not up to the standard of Jesus Christ.
Oh, no. Lady Gaga doing theology?
Yeah.
Well, you, Lady, it's not Lady Gaga who did the theology. Thank you, Herman. We'll talk about it. Lady Gaga has her latest project, I guess you would call it, is I Was Born This Way, which is her way of saying that whatever I am, you know, that's the way God made me. We have a church not too far from our location here, a United Church of Christ, who has quoted her and has put her quote in the context as if God had sent the memo that Lady Gaga's got it right. And that was the sum and substance of that conversation that Paul talked about and that I talked about previously. I said it would appear that the pastor of that church has put, quoting Lady Gaga, above the Word of God.
I mean, just the name Gaga should give people a clue, you would think, but oh well.
Oh well, it is what it is. All right, thank you, Herman. We appreciate it. 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Jan, you're next in the Bible study.
Hi, Chuck. Hi, Pastor. I'm looking at Deuteronomy 31, verses 12 and 13, and it says, "Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the works of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God." I'm looking at this passage because when truth is available, but it contradicts your worldview, how do we stay faithful and give the real truth?
Ooh.
All right, we'll talk about it. Thanks for the call.
Loaded question. So truth, there's a couple of different ways. Yeah, I'm thinking of the way that you said you were in John's Gospel before, mm-hmm. and John had a very specific way to evaluate truth. You know, test the spirits, and whatever spirit does not confess Jesus Christ is Lord, well, and that's not an important spirit, or it's not the Holy Spirit. So in a real general way, that's one of them. It's probably more common for people to encounter maybe churches or other things, or other people, just movements and so forth that they get tangled up in things that don't come from God. And, okay, well, we got an opportunity to go to our Lutheran confessions. And, as we look at those, you know, there was a sharp distinction made between what's come to us by human right, you know, what comes, you know, through people, you know, the how we organize the church and structure it in some ways comes, you know, because we've decided this is a good way to do it. Now, it doesn't necessarily come from the Lord's mouth. And then what does come from the Lord's mouth? What things are we commanded to do? Baptism, communion, the gospel, preaching the word. Those are the things that are essential for life in the church. So, you know, there's some people get caught up in the human end of it or some extra biblical revelation, we'll say. And get really hung up on that. You know who I have in mind, and you probably talked about it a lot on your show, but around here in Alexandria, we've been seeing the big trucks that have the Save the Date, May 21st, and
right.
Harold Camping's right. The group is pretty
it's
active
up.
Around here. So
it's coming up. I've got a public service message here that we read at the top of the hour for various things that is for an event on Sunday, May 22nd. So I guess we should probably throw that away.
That's Armed Forces Sunday at our church.
Oh, well, you're not going to be able to do that.
I drew a few chuckles by saying, well, this is on the 22nd, if the world doesn't end.
Exactly.
So, yes.
So then I guess we should forget about September 18th, National Back to Church Sunday as well. But that's a subject for a different day. Let me just put it to you this way. For people who say National Back to Church, Schmational Back to Church, you know, whatever. We have a decline that's underway in our country. It's been statistically proven. There are a number of church bodies whose attendance is in decline. It is what it is, and it doesn't matter how many Back to Church Sundays or Rally Sundays you have at your church or I have at my church. You're not going to change anything. This is the consequence of a long period of neglect of the kinds of things that are found in Acts chapter 2. People have forgotten about. The awe is gone off, as you pointed it, and back to church Sundays are not going to fix this. That's just a Band-Aid, so forget about it. What do you say?
Maybe, in my usual straightforward way. The bottom line for me is, okay, whatever programs are out there, great. You're probably not going to motivate too many people with statistics and you know, showing the national decline and things like that. To me, the motivation is people. You know, do you care that, all right, you got people in your neighborhood who are not connected in any way?
Well, I care, Pastor,
water.
But I wouldn't want to be intolerant.
It's the desire to connect with them that gets a church, you know, looking beyond the four doors that are there and saying, okay, now and it may not be a program in the church. It may be that your church members are really active in volunteering at a food pantry or teaching English or doing something in the community to connect with other people and to talk with them and to share their dreams and hopes and challenges that they have in their life. And I think it's that personal relationship that you have with people. It may not, you know, grow the church in leaps and bounds, 10,000 people, you know, participating in a back to church Sunday and that sort of thing. But I think that's where it goes. The back to church Sunday is to maybe get the people in, but then what are you going to do? Do you have a connection? And I think it's that connection. If you care about having that connection, then that's what transforms a congregation.
Well, can you talk about that just a little bit? We only have about 2 minutes left here, but if a church were to get a bunch of postcards made and really do some hard work and figure out all the people who haven't been in church now for, you know, 2 years or something, they're all going to get a postcard, and they're all going to come back to church on Rally Sunday.
Mm.
And a bunch of them do.
Mm-hmm.
And here they come out of their cars. They're headed for the doors to the church. What needs to be in place inside that building so that the momentum is not lost as soon as they get in the narthex?
Well, there's the worldly marketing thing, which is, okay, make sure your bathrooms are clean, make sure the lawn is cut, you know, that sort of thing, just so they're not turned off, you know, by you not caring about, you know, the Lord's house and that sort of thing. And then it's the connection, you know, if there are people out there to greet them, make them feel comfortable, if you see them getting lost in the service, help them out. You know, and maybe that some people come in, they don't really want to be talked to that much. Respect that as well. It's just respect and it's caring about people. It's probably more common sense than clear scripture that we're talking about here. But it's, you know, the scripture is what will hopefully take seed and get planted and take root. And then having the community of Christ around the person will hopefully help that seed germinate and grow.
Is it correct to say that there are some people in a church who have a gift of hospitality and are the people that you want to have greeting these folks when they arrive, and that there are some of us who don't have that gift and you probably would just rather have us cutting the grass?
Well, that's fair to say, but I leave that to each individual. I don't make that decision. I leave that to the individuals as to where their comfort zone is.
Pastor Jago, it's always a joy to talk to you. Thank you for spending an hour with us here. Look forward to another chat in the future.
I sure hope so. Thank you so much.
Very good. Pastor Andy Jago, he is pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, here on our Bible study program. Wanted to mention for those of you who frequently call the radio station and want to know, I just want to let you know that we will have an Ascension broadcast, a live Ascension worship broadcast, which is Thursday, I think June 2nd, if I remember correctly. It'll be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it comes from Hope Lutheran Church in St. Anne. That's Pastor Tim Ostermeyer's church. They have an Ascension service in the afternoon, and so we're going to broadcast it. If you want to make note of that, and then you can save yourself a telephone call here to the radio station. I'm Chuck Rathard. Thanks for listening to the Bible study. God's blessings on your weekend.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.